You know, we started a new sermon series a couple weeks back entitled The Road to Recovery, and just kind of speaks to this whole idea that we just need healing, we need recovery from just different things in our life. And there's so many things that are going around in our society right now that I think is just a really important series. This week I reheard a story that I heard many years ago. I actually have used it from time to time, but I just think it's a great story to illustrate this next point. It's about a delivery truck guy who was going down the road, and every stoplight he would come to, he'd run kind of back to the back of his truck, grab a 2x4 of all things, and start kind of beating against the side of his truck. Nobody could really figure out what he was doing. Nobody could understand until finally somebody asked him, "Hey, what are you doing?" He said, "Well, this is only a 2-ton truck, and I've been carrying 4 tons of canaries, and so I've got to keep 2 tons of them in the air all the time." I know, kind of a weird story, but when I heard that, I thought, you know, that's kind of a picture of life, isn't it? Many of you are out there literally beating yourselves, right? Trying to keep all the stuff that you've got going on in the air, keeping it somehow from crashing down around you. Why? Because we have this tendency in our life to get stuck, right? We get stuck in relationships. We get stuck in bad habits, I think. We get stuck in grief when we lose somebody that we love. We get stuck in anger. We get stuck in our work. We get stuck even sometimes in sexual relationships. And once we get stuck, then we start feeling guilty that we're stuck. You say, I wish I could get out of this, but I just can't seem to figure out how to do it. And then all of a sudden you have this guilt in your life because you just can't seem to get out of it. You can't seem to get unstuck. You can't seem to change it. So then you get angry. And you start getting angry at yourself, saying, I ought to be able to get out of this. I don't understand why I can't get out of this, but I just don't. Then my anger turns into fear that nothing is ever going to happen, nothing's ever going to change. And all of a sudden, though it's not really in control of us, all of a sudden we feel like we're out of control and it's got a control of us. And then your fear, I think it eventually turns into depression, and you start feeling sorry for yourself, and you begin just to sort of resign that this is going to be the way it is. I just give up. I can't change. And pretty soon, you start the whole cycle over again and get further and further stuck, it seems like. And so the question really becomes is how do we, you and I, how do we break out of this stuckness? That's what we've been really talking about for this whole series so far, the last couple of weeks. Step one, if you remember, was just kind of admitting it. I've got a problem, right? This is sort of the reality step. I'm not God. I can't just speak it into being. I've got struggles. I need him to help me, which kind of led us to the second step, the hope step, which says that not only am I powerless, but here's the cool part, that God has the power to help me change. You know, we talked about putting it all our struggles out on this table, this imaginary table, that once it's out there, we can begin to deal with our stuff, so that God can begin to heal the stuff, the struggles in our life. And we were reminded that he knows all about our problems, that he sees everything, that he cares about our problems. And you know what? Most importantly, he cares about you and me. He knows everything, and yet he wants to help us change. Isn't that amazing? I think it's absolutely amazing. But it's not just enough to know that he's going to help you out. You've got to somehow do your part as well. You've got to take an action. You've got to make a decision. You've got to walk across the line. You know, like the old saying, if you want to walk on water at some point, you know, you got to get out of the boat. So what is step three, right? Consciously choosing to commit all of my life and all of my will to Jesus' care and control. Right, this step is based on what Jesus actually said in Matthew 11. He said these words, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and overburdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus is just saying this, guys, come to me. Right? It's God's invitation to us. He wants us to come to him. I will make your life easier, Jesus says. I will lighten your load, he says. I will give you release. I will give you rest. Give me control and let me care for your life and watch what I do. For life, when you do that, I promise you, it just gets so much easier. And if that's the case, then maybe the question is, what is it then that keeps us from taking this next step? What is it that keeps us from getting out of the boat and giving ourselves over to God? causes me to procrastinate giving my problems to God and to delay surrendering my life to God and into the care and control of Jesus. Thinking in the end, there's at very least four things that get in our way, and I think you'll recognize these as we go through them. But obviously one of the first ones is just pride. Pride keeps us from admitting what? That I need help. Proverbs 18:12, it says, arrogant people are on the way to ruin because they won't admit it when they need help. For example, how many guys do you know, and this could be true of the gals too, but how many guys do you know refuse to look at the directions and how to put something together before they start trying to put it together? Why is it that we do that? I have no idea. Maybe it's the challenge. I don't know. Maybe it's the excitement. Maybe we could do it this time. In Proverbs 10:8, though, it speaks to that. It says this, the self-sufficient fool falls flat on his face. And so maybe you're not ready to take this next step. I don't know. Maybe you're not ready to say, I give control and the care of my life into Jesus' hands. I'm not ready to do that yet. I still got a ways to go. And you start wondering, what is it that will kind of push me over into that? And God will just tell you, right, what you need is a greater dose of pain in your life, because the greater the pain gets, the more willing you become to actually deal with your stuff. And so God, in his love for you, because he does love you so much, more than you could ever imagine, he will gladly allow a little bit more pain in life and a little bit more pain in your life until he gets your attention. What else keeps us from moving out of that boat? Huh? How about guilt? Guilt keeps us from taking this next step all the time. It's where maybe I'm ashamed to ask God for help. I know people that do this. Psalm 40 verse 13 says, problems far too big for me to solve are piled higher than my head. Meanwhile, my sins, too many to count, have caught up with me. I'm ashamed to look up. You ever felt that way where you're just ashamed to look up at God because of the stuff that you've done or you've said or you continue to do? You say, I don't want to ask for God for help again. You don't know how many times I've asked him for help. You don't know how many promises I've made and how many times I've broken those same promises. I'm just too embarrassed. I'm too weak to ask God for help anymore. You don't know all the things I've done wrong, all the things I continue to do. I couldn't go to God and ask for help right now, not in a million years, not again. But hear me say, if that's where you are, you're just wrong. You're listening to Satan's lie, because there is no sin that God cannot forgive. No sin. For there is absolutely nothing you can do to out-sin God's grace in your life. Nothing. And so don't let pride or guilt keep you from taking the next step. He wants to forgive your guilt. That's why he sent you Jesus. He wants to help you in your life. That's how much he loves you. And then there's another one too. How about fear? Is fear one of those? Absolutely. Fear keeps me from getting out of the boat. Maybe that's one of the big ones. This is where I'm afraid of what I might have to give up to really let Jesus be in control. Here's one of my favorite stories. There's this guy and he falls off a cliff, right? And he's halfway down and somehow amazingly he grabs hold of a branch. And he's hanging on to this for dear life. He looks 500 feet down, and then he looks 500 feet back up, right? He cries out, somebody, somebody, help me, help me, help me. And he hears the voice of God. This is the Lord. Trust me, you know. Let go and I'll catch you, God says, right? Let go and I'll catch you. He looks back down 500 feet, right? Looks back up 500 feet. And he starts crying out, is there anybody else out there, right? Is anybody else at all? You know, the reality is that for so many people today, God is simply a last resort. And as a result, some of you are kind of hanging on for dear life in your life. You're hanging on by that branch. You're saying, you know, this isn't that bad. No, seriously. Yeah, no, this is all right. There's no problem here. I'm doing fine. No, seriously. But there's the question, right? What are you afraid will happen if you actually let go? If you actually commit your life to Christ, what are you afraid will happen if you give God care and control of your life? One guy I know answered, honestly, one time he goes, he'll turn me into a religious nut or, you know, a pastor like you. You know, right? But he said, I don't want anybody controlling me, right? He wanted to be in control of his life. But I was just telling him, who are you kidding, right? You're always being controlled by something. It's just when you give yourself over to the Lord, you're choosing who's going to be in control of your life. You choose that when you let God control your life. But you're always controlled by stuff like the opinions of other people. Some of you are controlled by the hurts of the past that you just can't, won't forget. Some of you are controlled by habits and hangups that you know are destructive toward your life, but you won't quit them. Some of you are controlled by your parents who brought you up. Bob Dylan used to say, you're going to have to serve somebody, even if it's your own ego. Real freedom is choosing then who your master will be. So let me ask you, who or what are you letting control your life right now and that you're afraid to let go of? Who or what are you holding on to that you think, I can't let go of this in order to give my life truly over to God? Could be a relationship, an ambition, a habit, a lifestyle, possession, even a fear. Whatever it is, my encouragement to you today, though, is just this. Just give yourself over to God. Give him control of your life. Say, God, here's my life. I'm doing a bad job kind of doing it. I need you in control. I need you leading me more and more and more, and let him take care of the rest. But there's a last thing that keeps us from getting out of the boat. Maybe this is the big one in our culture today. I don't know. But it's worry. Worry keeps you from surrendering your life to the care and control of Christ. I think sometimes we confuse the decision-making phase, right, with the problem-solving phase. Sometimes we do this in staff, but we kind of work past it. But I'll give you an example of this. Back in 1963, JFK announced publicly, hey, we're going to put a guy on the moon by the end of the decade. It was a bold claim, right? That was a decision he made. Had all the problems been solved when he had made that decision? Absolutely not. But if you're a good manager, you know that you never confuse the decision-making with the problem-solving. Because if you confuse them, you'll never make a decision in the first place. You have to get to the point where you make the decision and then solve the problems. Kennedy said, we're going to go to the moon. And then it was NASA's job, right? It was their problem to figure out all the problems and solutions after that. See, ultimately, the Christian life is sort of like that. It's a decision followed by a process. It's the same with recovery, right? It starts with a decision. It starts with getting out of the boat and trusting God for everything else. It starts with something in your head that says, okay, let's do this. Let's go for this. Somebody once wrote a book, and it says, and it had this title, and I've been using it liberally all the way through this message so far, but it's this. If you want to walk on water, then you got to get out of the boat. And I love that. I love that line because it talks about getting off the sidelines of life and into the game. In World War II, the Marines had a definite strategy that they would use when they went to kind of take over one of the islands in the Pacific from the Japanese. And they used the same strategy, actually, on every single island, and just amazingly, it worked every single time. But this is what they would do. First, the Marines would go to the island that had been kind of taken captive, and they would start bombing it, and they would just kind of pelt it over and over with bombs and grenades and all kinds of explosives over and over and over, and this was called the softening up period. I think many of you are probably going through a softening up period in your life right now. And there's all kinds of explosions that are going off in your life. They're just kind of sending fragments everywhere, right? And you're saying, this isn't working. This is just creating a mess in my life. And you come to a point in your life where you say, yes, I need something beyond myself because it's just not working. I don't know. I'm not smart enough. I'm not gifted enough. I don't have enough resources. I just can't solve it. But when you get there, it's the softening up of your pride. It's getting you to that place we talked about last week where you cry out, I need your help, God. I need you in my life, God. There's just so much stress, so much brokenness. I need you. And then the second phase, you look at the Marines, is they would come in and they would establish a beachhead. And maybe it was only about 20 yards deep or 200 yards wide, but they would just get a presence on the island. And when they had established that beachhead, you know, had they completely liberated the island yet? No. had just actually gotten in, just a little bit of a foothold, but from there they began to fight the battles to take over the island. Sometimes they'd move 100 yards forward, and sometimes they'd get pushed back a little bit, and sometimes they'd win the battle, and, you know, sometimes they'd lose it. But everybody knew that once they established a beachhead, total liberation for that island was inevitable. It was just a matter of time. And in the history of World War II, interestingly enough, once the Marines had landed and established a beachhead, they never lost an island. It was just a matter of time that the entire island would be set free. So when you make this step, what's happening is God sort of gets a beachhead in your life. The Bible calls it conversion or being born again, but it just means that God gets a presence in your life. That he's God and you know you're not, right? That you're relying on his strength, on his wisdom, on his truth, on his power, on his forgiveness. Now, does that mean that everything in your life is perfect at that point? Absolutely not. It just means God's in your life and he's got a beachhead. And for the rest of your life, his promise is he's going to be setting you free little by little by little. And it's a process. So don't worry about it so much. God says, just trust me. Maybe you worry that in this battle you couldn't hold on and you can't hold out. God even then says, don't worry. It's not your job to keep it. He says, I do the keeping. Cast all of your anxieties, that means all of them, all of your anxieties on him because he cares for you. He says, I care for you so much. I hold you in my hands. For in the end, it's not the size of your faith that matters, guys. It's the size of what you put it in, the size of your God that matters. You can have a giant faith and put it in the wrong thing and it doesn't do anything. It gets no results. Faith is not the issue. The issue is, what do you put your faith, your trust in? Because a little faith, a little trust in a big God, I promise you, gets amazing results. And so don't let any of these things keep you from taking this next step today. Because in the end, God is here for you, calling out to you, telling you how much he cares, how he's already forgiven you. Did you hear that? You're already forgiven. And how he just wants to help you. My friends, the reality is that not only is he there, but as we talked about last week, he is able. Jesus says, I stand at the door and I knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens that door, I promise I will come in and have fellowship with him. As he sends us the Spirit, and I will comfort. As he gives us his word, and I will strengthen. And I will forgive. And I will replace that fear and that worry and that stress and that all that other stuff with hope. And the promise that every step of the way, I will be with you. Guys, go with that encouragement today, right? And I just challenge you today, if you haven't already, give God that beachhead in your life. Start looking to him more and more and more as your guide, as your boss, as the one that starts dictating your steps. And I promise you, as you make better decisions, as you follow him, as you trust him with more and more and more of your life, you will absolutely see miracles done. So go with that encouragement today and with this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious always unto you. And may he look upon you now with his favor and grant you forever his peace. Amen.